glad he sees what we've done. Many years ago, I heard a preacher talking about that very thing and how we can trust the Lord. It's like standing at a parade. We go out here in town and Labor Day and see the Labor Day parade, Christmas time, see the farming parade, and we stand on the street and we watch it as it goes by. And as it comes by, we get excited, we see it coming, then the other part's gone and we still see it. But that ain't the way the Lord watches it. The Lord's up in high, like in a helicopter. He sees the beginning and the ending and sees the whole thing. That's how he sees our life. And he's in control. And I believe that this morning. Good singing. I appreciate the kids singing. I'm glad we got time for the children. You know that you're not grown up, don't you?
Yeah.
If you belong to the Lord, you're a child of God. And never nowhere does the Bible say you're an adult of God. And don't say that. We're children, heirs. Huh? So let's make sure we always have time for the children. I appreciate the kids. Appreciate. All right. Well, we've got some thoughts for you this morning. We're going to continue from last Sunday as we started on which we wasn't really attending to, but it's the way it turned out, about our heart in the home. And with all that's going on in our world today and goes on in our churches, and I don't know whether you realize it or not, but there seems to be a great competition today. And the competition is between the world and you. And the world is always trying to get you to come to their side. Always. And there's more and more things that come in our life that causes these things, that give us opportunities. And I don't know how to help you this morning other than give you what the Bible says. I don't know how to help me other than to see what the Bible says. Some of it's not popular in today. Everybody thinks that it's old-fashioned. Well, I want everybody to understand something. I have an old-fashioned Bible.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And we're going to keep that.
Amen.
It's the King James Bible, and I'm going to keep that. I got an old-fashioned Savior. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's no change in that. I'll just go ahead and have the old-fashioned way when it comes to that. Now, we're not talking about old-fashioned worship. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about old-fashioned songs. We're talking about God's way that don't change. Now, the world has done everything it can to get away from the Scripture. And that's understandable. But it's sad when the church tries to get away from the Scripture. When we that are saved don't want to go by what the Bible says. And we have been sheltered in teaching and preaching. We have been taught shallow Christian living. All right. We have been taught shallow Christian living, that church is made up of stories of Jonah and the whale. That's Bible, that's true, but there's more than that. It's more than Bartimaeus getting healed of his blinded eye. There's more than that. Everybody listening to me now. The main theme is still the cross and Christ, the resurrection. The main theme is still a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about heaven and hell.
Right. That's
right. All right? Now that's important. If you don't go to heaven, you'll go to hell. That's vitally important. It's vitally important that you miss hell and go to heaven. It's vitally important. Yeah. But the main theme of the Bible is a relationship with the God of glory.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ. That's the main theme. And it's a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship. And God does not use the world to help the relationship. He condemns the world. All right. And He uses your heart. He uses your home. And He uses the household of faith, the church, to promote a relationship with Him. That's all. Your heart, your home, and the church, the household of faith. He does not use the world. Now, He's not above using a lost person to get His will done. He used the soldiers to pierce His side. He used the Pharisees to get Him tried and to go to judgment for Calvary. He used lost people to betray Him with Judas. So God uses what He wants to. He used a rooster to crow and remind Peter. He used a donkey to speak to a prophet who wouldn't listen to God. So he had a donkey lay down in the road and talk to him. So He'll use what He needs to use. But He don't want us to go to the world to find a relationship with the Lord. He don't want us to go sow our wild oats and from the mistakes we learn to come back and then have a relationship with God. He wants us to start right and then live right that we might finish well.
Yes.
Everybody understand that?
Yes.
And I know everybody can't start after you're old. You've done missed some things. But we have an opportunity. I thought as them kids sung. The importance of them kids standing there and singing for the Lord. And the importance of them children downstairs. Even the kids that's in the nursery. The importance of them being in the house of God is greater than you understand. It's more than an activity to do on Sunday. It is their lifeline.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yeah.
But we're losing our foundation. We're losing the foundation. I watched kids get off a bus this morning, and they were singing when they got off the bus. They got off the Braxton County bus this morning, and they was some little feller. He wasn't a foot and a half tall, but when he hit the ground, he was singing. Me and Rick and Roger was we couldn't help but laugh. I mean, he was singing the bus song. Jennifer, he was singing the bus song when he got off. But his parents wasn't with him. His parents wasn't with him. The foundation. There's a problem somewhere. So we're going to preach to you about our heart in the home. And we're going to, next Sunday's Mother's Day, be here. And we're going to preach it right on through. I don't know that we'll be done by Father's Day. I hope not. So you be here every Sunday you can, because we're preaching on the home. And we're going to find out just where we're at. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out where we're at. And if you can't be here, watch it on video. All right, but we want you to be here. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Father, we come this morning, ask you to speak to our heart. Help us to preach and teach your word. It's your word that matters. It's not my word. It's your word that matters. And I pray, oh God, that you will speak to every heart here. For those that may be unsaved among us, Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit, as he convicts them of sin, righteous judgment, that they will not want the world anymore, but they'll turn to you because you are the only important thing that there is. Lord, I pray that we might get a handle on that ourselves. Lord, you saved us and we got our fire insurance, but it's more than that. It's more than being saved from hell. You are great and wonderful. There's nobody like you this morning. Help me to love you even more. And I'll thank you and praise you. Cleanse my mind and my heart. Touch me fresh, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. Years ago, well, it ain't been that many years ago, a preacher that I know had some work done on his house. He had some drywall in his house and it cracked. And we all have that problem. If you got drywall, you know what I'm talking about. And he hired a painter to come. A feller does drywall. And said, come and fix my house. He's come, looked at it, said, no problem. He repaired the crack, painted it, couldn't tell anything was wrong at all. Everything was just perfect. And not even a month later, the crack was back. So he called the painter, and the fella came and said, I'm so sorry. He said, and he redone it, fixed it, painted it, and everything looked brand new, brand new. But 40 days later, it cracked again. 40 days later. And so that wasn't setting real well. Done paid for it, you know. Done it twice. So he said, I ain't fooling that fella no more. So he called another guy. Supposed to be one of the best in the round. And he come and looked at it. And looked at it. And looked at it. And looked at it. And he said, can't help you. What do you mean you can't help me? I thought you repaired drywall. He said, I do. That's what I do for a living. Why can't you fix it? He said, there's nothing I can do to help you. He said, just fix my drywall. He said, that's not your problem. That is a symptom of your problem. Your problem is your foundation is weak. You need someone to work on your foundation. Then we can repair the wall. See, what we got today, we're dealing with nothing but symptoms. We're dealing with symptoms in people's homes. We're dealing with symptoms in husbands and wives' relationships. We're dealing with problems with children. We're dealing with problems with parents. Then we deal with problems in society. And we're all the time, we're trying to fix the problem. But that ain't what we're working on. We're working on the symptom. We're working on why people are disobedient. We're working on why people are doing well. Well, they done that. We'll give them a pill or a plan or a program. That's not the problem. The problem is their foundation he's worked on. See, we had a good foundation to start with, but the enemy has come and attacked it. Listen, the world is not where our problem's at. It's what we've allowed in our home that we're fighting. I'm not fighting the beer joints and the dope houses. I don't fight that battle. In fact, can I say I've never fought that battle? Because I've never done drugs and I've never touched a drop of liquor. So I've never had that battle to fight. But I tell you what battles I do fight. I fight with what I've allowed to come into my household. Are you hearing me? See, I don't go out there. And neither do the majority of you. We don't run with that crowd. Are you hearing me this morning? But we're fighting what we bring into our own home. And what it is we're trying to fix the sheetrock. We're trying to fix the sheetrock. And that ain't the issue. Huh? That ain't the issue. Show you a good example. You know, when we built Philip and Lindsay's house, we got up to the second floor, and there's a man that nobody, they don't think he's really smart, but he's one of the smartest men I know, and that's Roger Gerwig. Roger was standing there, and you would think he was just standing there goofing off. He was standing there and he kept looking. He walked down here at the end of the house. Then he walked back up. He walked down there. He went to John Bounds and said, remember this, Roger? Said this wall's off. You and John took a string and put it on the wall. And sure enough, the wall's off. We're already on the second floor. There's a problem. John said, well, how do we get off on that? And Roger said, we'll find out. So remember what you done, Roger? You went down and you found that the block was off on that little, on that one section. And we built according to the foundation. but it was off when we got up to top. You remember that? And you know what he used to find the problem? A string. He put a straight string. I hold in my hands a plumb line.
Amen.
I hold in my hands a plumb line that is right every time. And if we don't go by the plumb line, our foundation's off. That means we built a crooked house. I know the house here in town. Garth knows what I'm talking about. They built the house, and they built the house. It was almost 6 inches off on the foundation. They went ahead and built the house. Fellow went to lay tile. You remember the house I'm talking about, Garth? Went to lay tile. Well, tile's 12 inches square. Well, when he laid the tiles, wait a minute. This thing's 6 inches off. How do you get off? Because the foundation was wrong. Is everybody following me this morning? See, if your foundation ain't right, it ain't going to matter how you build. It ain't going to matter how righteous you live. It ain't going to matter how much you read or pray. If you don't start right, you ain't going to finish right. You're always going to be fixing the crack on the wall. Huh? But if you go ahead and fix the foundation, you don't have to worry about the crack. All right? So I reckon we're just cracked. Huh? I reckon we are. Y'all all right? Let's read some scripture. All right? We're going to preach on a home. All right? We're going to preach on a home for several weeks. So you can decide to go on vacation or leave country or find another church. But we're going to preach on the home on through June. Just might as well just go ahead and bank on it. We're going to preach on the home every Sunday morning. All right? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Psalms 127 verse 1 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." See, it matters what we're founded on. But we're going to have to go back and start at the beginning to see how we're supposed to build on. Now, I know we got a lot of things that we've done, made mistakes, and we can't fix. Do I understand that? We've all got a past, and there's things that's come in our life that we can't go back and change, huh? But I tell you what we can do, we can clear off and go ahead and start now and build on now. All right? Everybody understand me? Are we okay already? All right? See, here's a problem today. Can I tell you a problem? We'll get in the message if we can, and we'll go as far as we can, and I'm not going to keep you. I mean, I have 2.5 hours, 3 hours of preaching. I'm not going to do that. But I have that just on this part. You understand? But you can't handle it all. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying you won't sit there for 3 hours. Now, if we were playing ball, you would. If we was fishing, you would. If we were deer hunting, you would. Huh? But you wouldn't do it for church. You wouldn't do it for Jesus. And that's just the truth of it. That ain't being sarcastic or mean. We're just telling you the truth. All right. People want peace. Anybody here want peace? Talk to me. Anybody here want peace? People want healing. Anybody here want healing? Huh? People want knowledge. You don't want to go through life dumb, do you? Everybody, people want knowledge, right? People want power. They want power. Now, you may not think you want power, but you want to be top dog on a job. You may not want to have the responsibility of being a boss, but you want the money. Huh? You want your opinion to be what everybody goes by. Have you not said if people just do what I say, everybody will get along a whole lot better? Have you not ever said that? If people just do what I do, we'll all be fine. Huh? People think the way I do, wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, that's how I feel. If you thought like me, they wouldn't be. Well, you just come in, have fun, go home. Right? But you know, we'll never have none of that. And you know why? Because the only way to get the peace and the healing and the knowledge and the power is if we submit to the Lord. And the rub comes in because we don't like submission to the Lord. Are we still okay? Talk to me. Huh? Now, when it comes to marriage and when it comes to homes and children and all this, I'm not Dr. Phil and I'm not Dr. Spock and I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids and I'm not going to tell them to raise them like I did mine. If Cheryl hadn't been in the home, my boys would have been in jail. Huh? If Cheryl hadn't been home, my kids would have been in jail. Because a child left to themselves bring their mother shame, and I was gone all the time. Right? So anything that them boys are, you go thank their mommy. You thank their mommy. All right? The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10. Is everybody still with me this morning? John chapter 10, verse 10 said, The thief is speaking of the enemy. The devil said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Can I tell you that the enemy is after you, is after your husband, after your wife, after your children, your grandchildren, after your home, after everything that you are. If you're a Christian, the devil is after everything to try to slam the name of Christ in your life. You know that? He's trying to belittle the Lord. The enemy's trying to belittle your testimony of the Lord. He's trying to use you to become a weak link. Huh? He's trying to use you to destroy the influence over your children, over your grandchildren. He's trying to ruin the relationship between husbands and wives. He's doing all that. But Jesus said, I am come. Now the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to have a lively home, have a lively relationship with Him. The Lord don't want us to be our head hung and our lip hung and walking on. He wants us to walk with Him and live with Him because there's no greater joy than to have the Lord and to walk with the Lord. But we've not been taught that. We've heard it said, but we've not been taught that. What we've been taught, it's over taught us to, what would be the word? It's took us from the church to the world. How come we listen to the world more? I mean, instead of listening to preachers on the radio or the TV that tells how to live right, we want to live like the ball players and the movie stars and listen to what they, like it matters what they think. I could care less what they think. Is everybody following me? I could care less their opinion if it's contrary to the Word of God. Can I tell you, if it's contrary to the Word of God, I don't even hear what a preacher says.
Right. Right.
All right? We better go by the plumb line. All right? Turn your Bible, if you will, just for a moment, to the book we don't very seldom ever preach out of, nobody does, Malachi. Malachi. See, our home, our marriage, our church, there's a word that we don't use. We don't use it very often. And I don't know why we don't. We just don't. Used to be, see if anybody can remember, how many's been in church? At least you attended church some off for 30, 40 years. At least you've been in through church. Used to be in all of our churches, they was a thing. It always was either in the front behind the pulpit or when you come in the door, they was always something that said a church covenant.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You know, nobody ever read it, but it was always there. You know, it was always too much reading. The people didn't look at it. But that word covenant was a binding agreement. What it was is when you got saved and joined the church, you know, when you got part of that congregation, that was a binding agreement. How you was going to conduct yourself.
Right.
Okay? But did you understand that there was a covenant, there's covenants in the Bible, there's the covenant with Noah, that he wouldn't destroy the world with water again, right? There was a Abraham covenant, all right? Had the children, the law, Moses covenant, the law. We got the old covenant, the old testament. We got the new covenant in Hebrews. Everybody follow me, talk to me. But there's one covenant nobody wants to talk about. And that's the covenant in the home. We don't want to talk about the covenant in the home. Okay? Let's look at Malachi chapter 2. And let's just look at verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy, what?
Covenant.
Covenant. See, we're not talking about a contract. We're not talking about a marriage license. I've had several weddings. I've had big, fancy weddings. I've had them where they had people stretched out on both sides. They had all the fancies and the frills, and they've been as simple as in my office. Huh? I've had them where they had the horse and buggies and ride the bride and all the fancies. I mean, the top hats and the whips and the white horses and the big stagecoach carriages. And I've had them in the wintertime. We had one in January up here. Tristan and Jonathan sung up there. It was so cold you couldn't even. I had to sit in the car till the bride got there so I could get back up there to the pulpit and preach the wedding. And here we had old Damon Kincaid running around in a horse and buggy all around the park up here. All kinds of different kind of weddings and all these things. But can I tell you, it's not just a license and a contract. Everybody listen to me. We run our homes and our churches, and I know, people's going to growl at me, but we're so sports consumed. That we run our churches and our homes that way because we're all the time trading spouses and trading church members like you do on a ball team. Because the benefits are better. That's how much the sports have influenced the church and our home. All right. But we're under a covenant. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2, can we? Everybody still with me?
Yes.
Don't leave me now. Don't leave me. When we think of the covenant and what a covenant is, a covenant is a ordered relationship between God and man. Covenants never started until God started. And a covenant is an ordered relationship between God and man. It's a binding agreement outlining specific duties with its emphasis on loyalty and mutual obligation. That's right out of your dictionary. That's what a covenant is. Everybody with me there this morning, you understand? That a covenant comes, it comes by a higher power. Not a contract that me and you sign. Huh? Do you know that in a marriage that the bride or the groom don't sign the paper?
Right.
Do you know that?
Right.
That someone with authority signs the paper.
Right.
Do you know what makes you married if you stand before me? It's not your vows. It's not your promises. It's my signature. You don't have to say a word. You can stand before me, hand me a license, got your name on it, and when I sign my name, you're married, whether you want to or not. Because I take it and turn it into the courthouse, and the courthouse says you're married. Because of a higher power than what you are. In our homes this morning, God instituted the home. God instituted the church. But God made a place for Him to dwell, and that's your heart.
Right.
And that's where it's all got to start. Our heart in the home. Are we still okay? You still follow me this morning? Let's look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I wish I was preaching tonight. I'd preach part 2 of this, but I'm not. Marcus is preaching tonight. He's coming in. He'll preach for us tonight. So you come back tonight, you hear some good preaching. Dave, you going to miss it. Yeah. Dave always asked me, are you preaching this morning? That's what he asked me every Sunday. Are you preaching this morning? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I'll go ahead and stay anyway. That's what he said. The only honest one in the church. Genesis chapter 2. And let's start at verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 1. I was looking at verse 15. Let's start at chapter 1. Verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We'll find it there. Hang with me. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Notice the words now. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want you to know that what God has made is good.
Yes.
And he made male and female to dwell together with him. And he gave them a dominion over the earth. I believe Brother Rick mentioned that even in Sunday school this morning. And he done all that we might be in his image. He created us in his image. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now, are you following me this morning when you understand that what God has made is a good thing?
Right.
And he made the home. And he made a relationship. He wants us to be like him. Now, when we go back and look at the beginning, how everything started down at the foundation, there was three people. They was God, and they was man, and they was woman. That's never to change. God, man, and woman. That's why gay marriages is not acceptable with God, because God didn't design that. Everybody understand? Because God designed him and male and female. That's what God designed. Talk to me if you understand that simple truth. All right? Now, at home is a relationship between man and woman and God, and it's for a lifetime. And it's a covenant that comes and binds everything together. Are you hearing me? A marriage is God's idea. It's God's idea. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. Now, let's go over and read some more. How about now we go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to the every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And look at the next phrase. And brought her unto the man. See, the Lord done it. The Lord brought the woman to the man to make a whole. Everybody understand that? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And I like what Brother Rick taught us when he went through Genesis. When Adam seen Eve, he said, whoa, man. Huh? Huh? Isn't that what you said when you seen your wife? Guys, whoa, man. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his wife and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, God brings things together. God authorized the union between man and woman. God authorized that, and he made man to have a certain kind of a heart. He made the woman to have a certain kind of a heart that God might dwell with them together. Are you following me? Now, we're not to have a home like the world has. We're supposed to have a home like God said. Anything less than that, we're cheating ourselves. God made it that we could have the greatest organization or organism ever made, the home. He made it to where it would be right. But we're destroying it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And let's look here at verse 4. He said, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Man tries his best to destroy what God puts together. He tries his best to destroy our heart. He tries his best to destroy the home. And then he tries his best to destroy the body, the church, the household of faith. He's always trying to destroy. And what we got to be careful is this morning, is we go back and make sure that we're built on that solid rock, that when the winds come and the storms come, that we stand firm, that we don't fall flat. And there's a couple things real quick we're going to try to look at this morning, if we can. To start with, we go back to Genesis chapter 1. Is everybody still with me? I don't want to bore you with the scripture here. I want you to stay up with me now. All right? When God made man, he said he made man and woman. Are we okay with that? When God made man and woman, it was God and man and woman. He made them together, right? And he made them a certain way. Now I want you to think about something, all right? He made them in his image, all right? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in what? Our image. Look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. He created man like they was. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He made man and woman just like three. But they were one. Are we still okay? I'm going to try to be real simple if I can this morning. What God wanted, listen to me now. What God wanted, he wasn't trying to make us God. But he wanted us to mirror his image.
Right.
You know what God wanted in the first home? The same thing he wants in your home right now. Is that we mirror the image of God.
Right.
Yeah. That husbands and wives and children mirror the image of God. When you look in the mirror, you see the reflection of what's there. And God wants his reflection in our home today. You know what will change everything? If our homes go back to looking like the Lord. If husbands and wives reflect the image of a holy God. Is that simple enough to understand this morning? Huh? God wants that reflection, if you would. Let me see if I can explain it further. We got the Father. All right, the father of creation, if you would. And he gave us the Son, and we got the gospel. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit. When after the gospel, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Are y'all following me? Well, what was the Holy Spirit for? Relationship. The Son brought us the gospel. The Father brought us creation. All three in one working together for one thing, that we might get to God. What's he want with the home? He wants us to come together that we might have a relationship. See, here's what we got today. We've got wives that have a relationship with God and not the husbands. We've got husbands that's got a relationship with the Lord and not the wives. We've got children that's trying to have a relationship with the Lord and not their parents. And it's mixed up. And we're messed up. And there's no foundation. See, we need godly men and godly women so we can have godly children. That's what we need. That we might all worship God together, serve God together, love God together. Is everybody still with me?
Yes, sir.
For that's how the Lord made us. Start with the reflection. This covenant starts with the reflection of God. Are we okay? And we'll give it to you real quick. We're not going to give you everything this morning. The second thing he gives us is God gives us the replication. Not just a reflection, but a replication.
Right.
How we're supposed to make again what we have. Does that make sense to you? Let's look at verse 28, Genesis 1:28. Is everybody following me this morning?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be what? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over. We'll just stop right there. He wants us to replicate what he did. He didn't say just go make babies. That ain't what we're talking about. We're not just saying making babies. They get a man and a woman together and make a bunch of babies and go. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about making dogs and horses and cattle and birds. No, no. We're talking about replicating what he had. He wants us then to come together and have children that we as a father and a mother and a child, that when they grow up, They become a father and a mother and have children that's going to reflect the image of a holy God.
Yes, amen.
And what God intended was that every home reflect His image.
Yes.
Not some homes, but that every home. And then we have children, and they go to other parts of the country, and then they have a wife, and children reflect God. See, it's not that we be successful in the world. That's not what the Scripture teaches. That we might reflect the image of a holy God. Our foundation this morning is not to be what the world wants us to be, but it's to reflect a holy God in that relationship. And that's where we're having trouble working on our foundation, because we don't desire that. We don't desire that. We desire the world. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what the Bible says. For what's in the world is the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all these. Man, that's no good.
Right.
We're missing God. You know what worries me and what scares me? We got a wonderful youth group. I love our youth choir. I love the kids, what's going on downstairs. But what concerns me is they only got what we've taught them. They don't have it on the inside.
Right.
That's what's concerning me. That when they turn 18, we'll lose them. You know why? Because the foundation ain't right. Because mom and dad ain't right. What do you teach your children? Do you teach your children to reflect the image of God? Huh? We're missing some things. Is any of this making sense to you this morning? Huh? We're supposed to be replacing or replicating, not replacing, but replicating His image. Huh? And then we have not only God's reflection and God's replication, but we got God's ruling. Huh? He gives us dominion. Everybody wants power. Everybody wants to do something. Can I tell you, He gives us power?
Yeah.
If we'll submit to Him, He puts us in authority over everything in the world. And we're always, all the time, we're taking a back seat to everything.
Yep. Right.
Are you listening to me? You know Christians are the minority. Everybody's got their rights. The 1% of the LBGTQ, the 1.5% or 2% of the people, they all get their rights. We don't get ours.
That's right.
We're all over. But can I tell you, we've already been given power. Why do we look for anything?
Right. Right.
Did you know that if you live godly, like you're supposed to live godly, that you'll get all the attention you want? Guarantee you, you'll be on the news. Huh? Are you hearing me? You live godly like you're supposed to live godly and reflect the image of God and go replicating what He has laid out in His Word, you'll be on the 6 o'clock news, on news flashes, because they're going to be hanging you in the courthouse lawn, and they're going to be striping your back and setting you on a fire, and they're going to be taking your home and your house and putting you in the jailhouse. Are we okay? Let's think about this ruling just for a minute. Now, the reason that I'm saying that we have some ruling, here's we always want that power, but we're missing it. That ruling is we have dominion to rule, or should I say this, we have the power to operate on God's behalf. Are you following me? God made us. I can't see God. Can you see God?
No.
I can't see God. I don't see God. I've never seen the Son. I've never seen the Holy Ghost. Right? But he makes me new, that I can reflect the image of God in me, and I can replicate what God has done in me, and then I can work or operate under his authority the way God wants me to live. Does that make sense? If I have dominion over the fish and the fowls and all that, well, there wasn't nothing else there. You understand that's all that was there. You understand there wasn't nobody. Everybody understand that? They was Adam and Eve and God. That was it. They wasn't nobody else. They weren't no neighbors. Huh? That's why Eve said, Adam, do you love me? He said, who else? They wasn't nobody else. That's the way it is. Can I tell you it's supposed to be that way now? That there's nobody else but me and Cheryl and God. Huh? Are you following me this morning? This might be seem so feeble, but we're messed up, huh? God created man that we could see who God is. Isn't that why Christ become a man? And we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ain't that what John chapter 1 says? Is that not why he come in the flesh? Why did he make it? Why did God make it? That we might reflect his image. Yeah. See, it's not about jobs and educations and money and banks and activities and recreation. No, it's about a relationship with the Lord. And we're missing the grandest thing. We're missing the grandest thing. Do you know, my greatest time is when Marcus and Kelly and the kids come in and we all go up to Phillips and I got my children and grandchildren all in one place. I don't have no greater time. All right? We're not up there counting our money. Yeah? What we're doing is we're feasting and enjoying the presence of one another. There's no greater joy that the Father has than when his children fellowship with him and we all gather up and just fellowship with him. Huh? And you know what we do? We sit there. Now this is what they do. I don't do it. It's what they do. We get up there and this is no... I'm not, it sounds like I'm bragging, this is just what they say. They said, all right, Philip, they'll say something, say, all right, little Mark. Marcus will say something, say, you're just like your daddy. Here comes Landon through, or Levi, Mama, they'll say something. And it's always if they got an attitude, it's always like me. I don't know why that is. But what they're doing, they're making a comparison to the Father. Wouldn't that be good if we all just got together and we started making comparisons one to another about our Father?
Yeah.
Boy, he glows like Father glows. He's rich. He's happy. I mean, are you following what I'm trying to tell you this morning? I'm trying to tell you that our foundation is messed up and we're cracked. And it's not the wall that's the problem. It's not turning over a new leaf or not reading another scripture. Hey, we need to go back and do what the first scripture says. Reading all the scripture ain't going to do you no good if you don't do any of them. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? How do I give an invitation? Well, marriage today, apart from God, is just confusion. Our life apart from God, just confusion. Our family apart from God, just confusion. So what do we do? Well, let me just ask you. I preached a lot of things, give you a lot of information this morning. I don't know if any of it made sense to you or not. Just how you living. How about we just stop right there? Cheryl, go to piano. How you living? Daddy, how you living? Are you living in the image of God? Are you reflecting the image of a holy God? If not, why not? Wife, are you reflecting the image of God? He said, let us make man in our image. And he said, male and female created he them. He's talking about all of us. Are we replicating what God laid out. That'll be man, woman, children. Do you know the Son come from the Father? And the Son left and sent the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that God brought the man, started the man, he got the woman, then the children come from the woman, the wife come from the man. You know, we're all connected in there some way, ain't we? Huh? And then we're one body in Christ. I don't know, I think where I've been studying Ephesians and looking at this one body, it's got me on the home. And I've looked and looked at the home, and my, we've lost so much. Are you where you ought to be as a daddy or a mommy this morning? If not, won't you find your place and repent? Try to do better. You say, well, I failed, preacher. Well, we've all failed. Man, I failed as a son. I failed as a husband. I failed as a daddy. I failed as a popo. But I don't want to continue that. I want to stop it. What do I do? Well, I've got to change. I can't keep doing the same thing all the time and expect a different outcome. That's insanity. We got to change. I got to change. If I want to be a better husband, I'm going to have to do better. I'm going to have to do different than what I'm doing. If I want to be a better daddy, I'm going to have to change the way I've been being a daddy. If I want to change being a father, I got to change. How about you? I don't know about y'all, but I'm not hitting on all cylinders. Huh? I may have a V8, but I'm not hitting. I don't know if I'm hitting. I'm like one of them old hit and miss engines. Huh? Are we okay this morning? I don't know what else to tell you. If you ain't saved, need saved. If you ain't right, get right. Father, speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.